Good afternoon. You are listening to 91.9 FM WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is the Heart of Wellness Show with hosts Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. Today's guest is Rabia Troncoletti. She is a Theta Healing Technique practitioner and a sound and energy healer. We are super to have you on our show today, Rabia. You know, we're always looking to explore new ways and new avenues of helping the world heal and be their full self differently, and I was pleasantly surprised when we were on a phone call together recently, and you mentioned theta healing. I'm like, I don't know about that. That always excites me when I don't know something, right? For the world is to explore.
I'm assuming we know, we just haven't opened that treasure box yet.
Well,
so
if you
today's
mean,
the day.
Well, if you mean know, like in the ethers, sure we know it all, but my conscious mind has not heard about it. So
this would be, yeah.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. Appreciate you being
Hi.
Here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. A great way to start the show is to kind of give our listeners an idea of like who you are, like, you know, kind of how you got to this place of being a theta healing technique practitioner. You know, it's a little bit of background.
What planet okay. you're from?
What planet you're from. All that good stuff.
I'm pretty grounded on planet Earth,
okay.
even if there are some moments of interdimensional connection, but definitely an earthling. And but as far as background goes, I've been on the path of healing in the world of meditation and yoga for over 20 years, and grew up in a family with mystical parents in a spiritual community. And I, about 10 years ago, started working with Reiki and sound healing. And then so I was offering those types of sessions. And then one day, an acquaintance of mine gave me this book on theta healing technique. And I read it, and the book really explains the technique very well and the initial meditation that we do. So I went into it, and I had a really beautiful experience. So I then decided to seek out a practitioner and have a session, and it was pretty incredible. I felt immediately connected to it. So I started doing all the trainings and really, really enjoy it. And as much as I enjoy all the other offerings that I have, I find that theta healing really goes to a different depth because we're working with belief. So that's so important, and we're working with subconscious beliefs and really digging in to find what is hidden in the subconscious.
Okay.
So we need to, that's a good explanation. I mean, that's a great start. Like, what does that mean? Like, I know what belief means and what subconscious, the power of the subconscious. I mean, that's our whole...
Yeah, we've been really into that lately.
Yeah, well, lately, it's just...
I mean, well, just meaning... okay,
the whole Joe Dispenza world, yeah, you know, where all the new science is proving that your consciousness matters more than matter. You know, so, like, consciousness is matter. Consciousness precedes matter.
It's like, Let me preface why I said that. I meant, like, years ago, maybe we knew about Louise Hay and that idea of, you know, that your thoughts can create. And we've always kind of known that, but me, personally... in recent times, the past couple years, have more and more been interested in learning the power of what our subconscious is, you know, for each of us, and what it holds. And so I should say it, I've been really into it lately and exploring that for my own journey of, you know, like I said, Dr. Joe Dispenza work and different things. So yeah, that's what I meant by that. So I get it, Paul, that we obviously know.
Yeah, and I thought I would start because, Paul, you mentioned, like, oh, you feel like you've heard of it before, or it seems familiar. So, of course, theta, a lot of times when I mention that I do theta healing techniques, someone might say, oh, that they're familiar with it. But then as we go deeper, they realize that, oh, they're just thinking of the theta brainwave. And a lot of meditative techniques are going to bring you into a theta brainwave. So that's where the familiarity of the word is probably coming from. So it's a very deep state of relaxation, and it's used in hypnosis and dreaming. And then, so when we're in that theta state, we can access beliefs and that maybe we wouldn't be accessing if we're very much in our conscious mind. Mm. And we can be conscious and awake and in a theta, and like the, all of the brain waves kind of move in and out throughout the day. So if you're, if somebody is sitting on their scrolling through Instagram, scrolling through stories, and they're in a kind of trance, they've probably gotten to a theta state, which is actually where something like that can be somewhat dangerous, in the sense that when you're in that theta state and you're receiving information, it's actually going deeper into your subconscious.
So that would be the hypnosis state also?
But no, did I just hear you say, yes, right, if somebody's scrolling through Instagram... Did you just say that?
Or did I did, but I don't mean like maybe just the first couple minutes, but let's say if somebody's like really on there, they're just like there scrolling for an hour and they're nonstop going through all these things, you're going, or it's the same as a kid playing video games and or watching TV, like you get into this trance state.
Wow.
And when we're in that state, very relaxed in some ways in the mind and not being very active in the world in terms of doing, then your subconscious is sort of more open. Now, that said, when an artist is working and they're in a flow state, they're also sort of moving between that theta and alpha. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. They're extremely creative. They're accessing their subconscious. And so that's where this creativity and all these ideas can flow through so easily.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, it's a great place,
yes,
to be, but you have to just be really aware that you can also...
Well, I never thought about that, but that is, I mean, in sports, you were in the zone, you're in that certain zone, you're in the music, you get in that zone. I never thought about getting in the...
the theta state?
Well, no, with video games.
Right,
I mean,
yeah,
with all the violence
kinda...
and, you know, that getting into your, you know, you don't have the conscious mind to say, oh, this is just on TV or this is just a... So, especially with a child, you know, younger, somebody that hasn't developed that brain yet, that they're soaking it all in, they're under the age of 9 or 10 and they're on the videos. That's a wake-up call for me. I didn't ever look at it like that.
I hadn't either. And then, again, we also had done a lot of reading by Dr. Joseph Chilton Pierce. Have you heard of him?
I have not.
He wrote The Magical Child.
Magical Child, Evolution's End, Cracking the Cosmic Egg, and he was just referencing with brain development again, like how
vulnerable you are.
How vulnerable a child is, or anyone, but specifically usually children, because their brains are just soaking so much in that way, like you're saying, like staring at the screen, you know, mm-hmm. and what that...
But even for us adults, if we're watching TV, especially later at night when you're starting to get tired... So then if you're a little bit tired and you're getting into that sleepy state, it's going to be, you know, you're entering more quickly into those more open spaces. And I mean, that's also conversely why working with affirmations right before going to sleep is advised, because it's going to get deeper into your subconscious. But so if we're watching violent shows or shows with like strong opinions that maybe you don't necessarily want to have seeping into your subconscious mind, that's something to think about as well.
Yeah. Well, you got to counter it with a meditation right before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, in that process.
So is this the same idea of like subliminal messaging?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're listening to something with positive subliminal messages, that's a good thing then, to fall asleep to that.
Yes. Yes, I actually have a track that somebody gave me that has where you don't hear at all what is being said, but all the subliminal messages are very positive affirmations. I am affirmations. I couldn't even tell you right now what they are. I'd have to look mm-hmm. back at it. But
right, yeah. Cool.
Well,
okay,
maybe before
good.
We go deeper into the theta, could you explain just a little bit the beta, the theta, and the alpha? you know, just to
all the help
people.
Levels to
yeah,
help
just
people.
To help people, and then we can go into it deeper.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are five brain waves. There's beta, which is like right now we're in, probably in beta waves, talking, communicating, and then alpha, and then we go into theta. And so I've heard that the flow state is when you're kind of in that alpha to theta, and then delta is going into deep sleep, and gamma is processing and learning information. So we're moving in and out of all of the brain waves throughout the day. Yeah. And I'm not I'm not an expert on all the brain waves. It's just like the surface basic information.
You're not a brain scientist?
Yeah. No.
What? So yeah, so going in, I mean, besides deep sleep, though I can be caught in deep sleep at the wrong time. I get a lot of what's the word? Flack for that I get a little sleepy at times. But not driving people, just meaning in conversation with Paul. He's going deep in Sharon's life, meaning I'm like, I think I'm just going really deep at those moments, Paul. I'm really feeling that more and more. It's just
so you tell
nature.
Me that's what, if there's a gamma, and then take a picture of you snoring with your mouth wide open,
yeah.
That would be the, all right.
I just went really deep.
That's the gamma girl. That's what
no,
I'm calling
would,
you.
That would be Delta.
That'd be Delta.
Delta girl.
Yeah.
There
Delta.
We go.
It is kind of a funny thing.
Where's
your
new tattoo?
We're pretty honest on our show with our listeners. And like Paul and I, like, yeah, like it's been a theme in our life. Like he'd be like going on and on postulating he's a Sag and visionary and all this. And I'd be like, ugh. And he's like, are you sleeping again? No, I'm listening, really. So
taking it all in.
I'm taking it all in. I mean, he's
good.
He's a powerful man. Got a lot to take in. So, okay, good review of the waves there. Thank you, Paul, for that reminder.
Yeah. So let's get into the theta.
The theta land, or whatever that means for your practitioner world.
Yes. So the technique is guiding people into their subconscious. So they're actually conscious while doing it, but then we're guiding them into that liminal space to find and then release deep-seated beliefs that are perhaps not helping. So one of the things to note is that we can have a positive conscious belief in the forefront of our mind, but then we can also have the opposite negative belief deep in the subconscious. And that's why a lot of times the like affirmation work is really, really beautiful and very positive, and you can get a lot out of working with affirmations. But if you have the opposite belief deeply ingrained from some experience in your childhood or beyond, then what can happen is you begin to manifest things, and you manifest them to a certain extent, and you're like, oh, they always stop. Why is it stopping? Well, it's probably because you have that other belief as well that you're not even aware of.
Right. So it's a good thing to talk to yourself positively instead of calling yourself, oh, you're such a loser.
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah,
you're saying,
I love the affirmation work. And I think that's been around for a lot longer than, you know, but I know it's been around for a lot longer. Like if you go back to, there's Neville Goddard, and then beyond that, there was Edward Casey. And then beyond that, there's the Kybalion, you know, which is ancient. So this idea of creating your world through your thoughts and your words and being very, very mindful of all of that. But in terms of healing and shifting things in our life around us, we can also take it a step further and work with seeing what is in the subconscious. And of course there are so many ways to go there, but theta healing is one that I've discovered and really, really enjoy. So the process would be that someone might, and I happen to always give this example because it was a session that was kind of perfect in ways. So somebody was coming to me in particular around relationships and working on romantic relationships. But one day They wanted to talk about, they mentioned that they were smoking again, like smoking cigarettes. And so I'll start to ask leading questions, and I always, the practitioner should do their best to not feed anything to the client. It should really all be coming from the client. So at one point I asked, what is your earliest memory of smoking and of cigarettes, or of cigarettes in general? And so they described this scene with their father and sibling, much older sibling, and it was at a time when people more readily smoked indoors, so and that the room was very smoky. So now, before even going into the this question answer phase, I've brought the person into a theta state. They're keeping their eyes closed. They're in a very, very deeply relaxed state. I am in connection with source energy guiding me, guiding the way that I'm going to ask questions. And so in that moment, when we came to the memory that they described, I hear love is suffocating. Now, I'm not going to tell the person, like, oh, you know, there might be a place where you think that love is suffocating, because the majority of adult people are not going to, in their conscious mind, think, oh, love is suffocating, and be like, of course I'm looking for love, why would I think love is suffocating? So I hear that, and then after, like, not even a minute, they say, like, kind of sigh, like, oh, it's like love is suffocating. And so that I say that that's that perfect session, because they reiterated literally exactly what I heard in my head. Sometimes it's a variation of it. But so then that's the thing, is that there's this power in the person who's receiving actually hearing them say it, recognizing that that came from their mind. Nobody gave it to them. I didn't give it to them. And so there's already this healing in the realization for this person that somewhere in their subconscious, love is suffocating. So once we arrive at that place, that's a pretty deep belief we're going to do. That's where the energy healing comes in, because theta healing is actually an energy healing modality. So then we work on releasing that belief, replacing it with something that's sort of the highest vibrational version, you know, and I don't remember at this point what that was. And then once we do that, we then start to do feeling work. So it's teaching the body and teaching the mind, the emotional body and the mental body and physical body, to understand what it is to receive love as this deeply relaxing, nourishing, expansive experience. And so that's similar to affirmations, but while this person's in a theta state, I'm just going to keep asking, like, would you like to know what it feels like to would you like to know what it feels like to have love be deeply relaxing and nourishing? And then they say yes if they want to receive it, and then I just keep all these different ones, and that's going to be based in the moment of what's flowing through, what wants to flow through. And then we seal it all, just kind of asking that to go into every cell of the body, every area of life, all belief levels in this way. And what's beautiful is that afterwards, you really see and feel those shifts. Like, that's no longer in your subconscious, and you start to see that the way that you're reacting or what you're attracting is different. And that part I can say for myself, from having received sessions, and then of course in all types of energy healing modalities, or any type of modality that you're training in, you're going to be receiving at the same time. So I've received a lot of sessions and saw very quickly things shift that maybe had taken a lot longer going through just other types of purely just energy healing, where we don't have this moment of really digging into the subconscious. Nice. Does that make sense?
Totally. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's exactly what WDRT does. We're the theta healers of this entire region, maybe even the whole world. This is the center. We get people in these states of love and peace and joy, and these talk shows and the music. It turns them on, basically. Gets them going. And then they get in the zone, and then poof, they get fed nothing but joy and love and happiness and excitement, and the world is better because of it. WDRT 91.9, all you got to do is turn on the button.
Turn on the button. Our guest today is Rabia Troncoletti. She is a Theta Healing Technique practitioner and a sound and energy healer. If you have any questions for her after this hour, you can reach out to her at Liminal Love website. And I will spell
it. Liminal.love.
Oh, liminal.love. I saw the dot right in front of me. And that's LIMINAL.LOVE. Liminal Love, if you want to reach out to her with questions and things about this. Theta healer wannabes. I don't know if we can call ourselves Theta healers here at WDRT, but Dr. Paul.
I mean, we're changing the name if we can. If it's not locked up.
Changing the name.
Well, I got a question about, this sounds, we have experienced the family constellations, a lot of hypnotherapy, subconscious work. Is it a form of hypnotherapy? Or I don't want to mix them up. But
I often, when I describe it, I do say that it's similar to. But I have had hypnosis therapy before, and the difference is that the person is bringing me, or this is my experience. I think I went like a handful of times some years ago. Before discovering Theta Healing, and each time they led me, using a guided meditation into a very, very relaxed state, and then maybe they offered me some suggestions to release or be very relaxed, but that was it. There was no interaction while we were in that state.
Yeah.
And that's the same as, like, for example, I've had a past life regression session. And so guiding into this like deep relaxation state, and then I might share what I'm seeing and what's happening, and that's considered something to do with the past life, but there is no resolution from that. There's no understanding why is it that I'm having this. It's just this vision. Because in Theta Healing, you can go into ancestral or past life beliefs as well. And the way that I explain that to people who might not believe that that's possible, I say that we're really so you're going into somewhat of a dream state, and if we think about the dream states speak to us from our subconscious mind and are going to show us what we're feeling or what we're desiring, right? Like if somebody has a lot of anxiety, they might have nightmares or dreams that are very intense. And I've definitely had my dreams speak to me with very specific messages. And so in this case, when we're guiding somebody into a past life, it's like, well, you're just really accessing those deeper parts of the mind and allow it to be like a dream vision. So it doesn't actually matter whether or not it happened or not. Like when you go to a past life regressionist, I feel like there's a lot of seriousness around what that past life was. And I've had people come to me afterwards where they really want to continuously go back to this past life. And there's a lot of attachment to what that past life was. Whereas with Theta Healing, you can be brought back into so many different past life memories and just forget about them afterwards. They don't actually have any importance other than having been a vehicle to understand where a deeper belief is coming from.
Yes, sorry.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. And I've had hypnotherapists, one in town, that does help you transition or more of a transformation of that experience, then you can let it go. Like you move into, let's just reprogram that. Let's just reboot that or relive it in a way. I don't want to say relive it, but you just, let's, it's a video in your head, right? A picture in your head, an experience. So just let the energy go and shift it. Or is it what I'm hearing here, that you are participating with the client and the person we're working with, and in that participation, it's probably more empowering because they're helping change it, correct?
Yes.
Yes, they're directing it in a way together. As a team, you're going in there and you got a buddy to help you out in a way, so you feel more safe. Am I hearing this correctly? And then you, with that safeness, you maybe even feel more empowered, and you can, oh, well, I'm going to just change this experience, or let it go, or say.
Well, yes, there is that, but so I also do Reiki healing, and I offer breath work as well. So let's say, for example, if I give somebody Reiki, Reiki is definitely taking you to that theta alpha state as well. You go really deep in. People have visions. I have visions. So sometimes the person that I'm working with will have this. We will both have the same vision. And so if it's something that feels like sticky, or you know, that wants to be released, like I'm helping to move the energy in the body to release things, and they may also feel a release. I mean, yes, they'll be like, okay, I felt this thing come up, and then it moved, like I've released some sort of karmic energy. So that's all really beautiful, and it can be really productive. But what I found is that it might just come back because the belief is still there, if that makes sense. Like we, when we go into with the theta healing, where it's not about the visions, it's not about the experiences. It's really the most important thing is what belief is locked into those memories and those images.
So how does that person carry it in their current life? Like how is that, that belief is manifesting itself in today's world, whether you see it or not.
Exactly.
Okay.
So going, for example, the first example that I gave, where this person had the subconscious belief that love is suffocating, the tendency was then at that time to attract relationships where that felt suffocating, or to attract partners who were very distant because they felt that being too close would be suffocating, right? So there was always this theme. So then once that was understood and released, now what kind of relationships come in are there, none of that is there anymore. It's like, oh, availability, a deeper sense of communication, connection, and just love, like love being comforting and safe and all of that, as opposed to love feeling suffocating and challenging.
So the replacement is actually, the replaced experience is natural. It just, wherever that goes,
yes.
Once you've dumped it, it's like, okay, now let's see what shows up. Because you're not replacing it. It's just, and is there forgiveness in that letting go? Is there some sort of, you got to feel it in order to let it go? Is there some rules in that, or experiences, or tendencies?
I'm not sure I completely understand your.
So with your clients, like what shows up in the process? Do you feel like you need to have them feel it in a different way? Do they just let it go? Do they forgive the person if it was a trauma, or all those things?
It's different for, it's very much based on the person and what the experience is coming up. But definitely there's forgiveness. There's sometimes like soul fragment return and releasing of cords, like all sorts of different energy techniques that come in depending on what we're working with, right? So if somebody has a history of let's say somebody in a relationship, they keep going back to the same person, and they're having a very difficult time letting go of somebody who is obviously toxic for them and is not helpful, then we're probably going to do a lot of work around releasing soul fragments and returning and kind of just allowing the energy to be completely cleansed and released from that person, releasing any contracts, soul contracts that there might be. So that's where it goes into the more energy healing type of world. Because theta healing, I've heard a lot of people do EMDR, and I've also received EMDR. It's very similar working with the subconscious. One of the things that theta healing has that, for example, EMDR doesn't have is this layers of all these types of energy healing techniques that have to do with cord cutting, soul retrieval, all the things that I've mentioned. And all of that requires, of course, belief in energy work and belief also in a higher power. That's first and foremost, that we are working with source energy or the creator of all that is, or any of the other names that you can give for creator, and believing that this higher power can help us to heal and to move forward. So when I'm doing the session, the first thing that I have to do is move upward and connect with source energy so that I am not necessarily the one guiding it. And I feel very, very like my intuition is turned all the way up. I can, if I'm having a hard time figuring out which direction to go, I will sometimes hear, like if my human conscious mind wouldn't necessarily know, like, oh, should I go into that memory or should I go into that memory? And then I'll hear it sometimes. It's like, nope, okay, let's back up. We're going to go in this direction. And so that's another added component is this, and the primary component is really understanding that we're working with source energy and then going into the brain and working with all of the energy healing modalities. Yeah. I feel like I just made it more confusing.
So. No, actually, to tell you, it's basically, and that would be with any healing, if any healing work, if you're not bringing in a higher power, it's not working. You know, I mean,
right.
In a way, you could say that's one of the reasons we're in the pickles we're in, because there's a part of us that lost connection with their source during that experience, or after, or now. You know, you're still disconnected somehow. There's some sort of, if we're fully connected to source, we're not going to therapy. You know, we're
I hope. Yeah. Well, and a bigger, if you're stepping back in a general sense of now of just healthcare, right? There's the holistic to whatever, allopathic or inductive or deductive reasoning, right? Like you're stepping into the whole, like, wow, what's going on with this whole person? So it's like, oh, there's a sore on your hand. Why? Let's fix it. Like you're going, what's going on in your whole being that may have brought forth this problem? You know, that kind of, you know, so then to me, that means you connect into the higher source. Like, okay, you know, we're all part of this divine power, and what's going on in our being? We're just an expression of that power through this physical form. So, you know, how are we co-creating this reality we're creating in our body, or that kind of vibe? You know, that's what I'm feeling with this work, right? That you have to have that kind of willingness to receive this kind of energy healing, right?
Yes.
A person has to like be open to that, like say, hey, we're going to be connecting with higher source, and this is like a very energetic, you know, kind of spiritual practice going on here.
Yeah. And then on the other end, it's really interesting because the part where the guidance into the memories, that's very, very, that's actually very practical, where, you know, we're going, okay, this happened to you. What, how are you feeling at that time? What is the strongest emotion? Then we follow that emotion. We just keep going as far back as we can into the memories until we realize, like, oh, okay, here's something really, really potent. And then we bring in all the energy healing. So it starts off in this very practical manner with that probably resembles different types of hypnosis techniques, and then we bring in all of this other energy healing.
So does the
to assist us.
Does the client, Rabia, bring up the memories, or so you say, bring up a memory that's bothering you, something like that? Is that how it kind of starts?
No. Well, no? So somebody might start, you know, maybe it has to do with money, for example. Like recently, somebody was mentioning that they had made a certain amount of money and they were really, you know, very grateful for receiving that, but then suddenly felt like, oh, I should be, I shouldn't have received this amount of money. Like there, and they felt that there was something uncomfortable in the body. So then I might ask, I can start in several different directions. I can go, when is the first time you felt uncomfortable having money? So I could ask that question. I could say, okay, so you felt really uncomfortable. Where are you feeling it in your body? And so perhaps they feel it in the pit of their stomach. So then I'll have them, I'll say, okay, bring your awareness down to that tension point and just really sit and feel in that tension point. And then sometimes by just really being in that point, another memory will come up, and so we'll move through the body. So we can move directly through the memory or through the body. And then if it's the memory, that person might say, oh, I remember being, and this is not at all what happened, but I'm just making it up. I remember being in the seventh grade and, you know, somebody wanted to pay me for babysitting, but my mom got really mad and said that that was not okay. And so then I was very uncomfortable, right? So, oh, okay, something happened. So then I would ask, like, well, what emotions arose at that moment? Like, how did it make you feel that your mom got so angry? So then they start to share how they felt. And I'll know, like, okay, we're not at the depth, we're not at the root of this money thing yet. So then I'll ask, well, can you remember, what is your another memory where you felt that way, like where you felt the anger? And so it might not, as we go deeper, the deepest memory might seem completely unrelated to the issue that is being brought up at the beginning. So the you know, the first part around money, it might actually end up being about having been bullied as a child and not having self-worth, right? Like a lot of times people talk about money issues being around scarcity, but a lot of times there actually can be lack of self-worth or lack of self-respect or things of that nature. So we want to just like keep digging until we find this, what's called a root belief, like a deep belief. So,
and you said, you know, that you might have made it more complicated. It is complicated. You know?
It's complicated.
And I find myself saying that in my practice as a chiropractor all the time. Like people come in and say, and they want to know, is it this? Is it my muscle? Is it my bone? Is it my, you know, it's like, I don't know. You know, it's everything. It's your emotions. It could be, you know, and I'll throw it in. It could be your past life. I don't know. You know, it's like, and part of that is it is so complicated that we have to surrender. If you truly want to heal, you got to surrender. You got to give it up. You got to trust the power of the body. Made the body knows how to heal the body. It's the only way it ever happens. It's like this is a principle that we have to. You have to. Okay, you have to go. All right, I'm not running the show. This might be my 100th time on this planet, and I don't have the memories for those. They are in there somewhere, but I don't have them on my conscious level. So, and if as they. Bruce Lipton says, if 92% or 97% of your thoughts you don't know and you don't understand, and they're the what's running the show, well, you better get in contact with that, because otherwise you're not going to be able to run the show unless you fully surrender. And that's where I think a big part of it is. It is complicated, but in a way, it's not if you let go and trust.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought up Bruce Lipton because his name was on my mind and you said it.
There you go. We're in the flow.
We're in the flow. So on that kind of note, logistically, I'm always like, wow, who thought of Theta Healing? Yeah, who found it? Who started it? Who had these ideas to put together this healing modality?
Her name is Vianna Stibble, and she...
What is the first name?
Vianna, V-I-A-N-N-A.
Okay.
Stibal, S-T-I-B-A-L.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she was, I don't remember all everything about her past, but she was already a healer, already working with people, and then she just received the technique and understood, you know, she was working with people and then went from working with just energy to working with beliefs, and says that she just received all of this directly from the creator and followed the instructions exactly and found all of these miraculous healings started happening not only for herself but for her clients.
Wow.
And she started teaching other people. Excuse me?
We found her on...
Dan just looked up her picture for
she's
us.
Got because... a, she's from Texas? She's got a cowgirl hat on.
I don't think she's... I want to say Wyoming.
There you go. Okay.
I could be wrong on that too.
Okay, so just kind of like many things...
It comes
from the divine and feeds through somebody, and they start sharing it with the world.
Well, and here we are. Now it is, anyway. This is the state of the world we're in, is it looks like chaos, and it looks like, oh, my God, it's all falling apart. But in a way, it's blossoming into our ability to connect to the source in a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And we can feel, we can name the theta. We can name it, experience it, and new techniques and healings are coming from it. You know, this is the new plants, the new source that's coming. It's like, you know, it's springtime, right?
Yeah.
So we're feeling the source. Well, that's, again, WDRT's flow is about spring. It's about new ideas and new possibilities and pop, 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 all this theta experience going on right now here at the station, and we appreciate you connecting. WDRT 91.9, Heart of Wellness.
Theta here, theta there.
Pick the weeds.
Hopefully, you're all not just joining us because this is a great conversation we're having. Our guest is Rabia Troncoletti. She is a theta healing technique practitioner and a sound and energy healer. You can reach her at liminal.love, liminal.love. If you have any questions for her after the show, or you want to look her up and, you know, talk more about the theta, I like that. Let's talk theta. Hey, so one of the, you know, it's kind of like to me, like, you know, what are we going to eat, like, physically? And there's all these different restaurants, and like, so now this question is, how are we going to heal? How are we going to let go of our crap? How are we going to let go of our subconscious beliefs we've scoured and shoved away into our corners of our mind? We had a guest who has worked with something called Psych-K. Have you heard of that modality?
I have. I'm not super familiar, but I do know the name.
Bruce Lipton really loves it.
He suggests that, and so I looked up someone, you know, and said, well, what's this all about? And, yeah, so, again, like trying to get into the subconscious self-limiting beliefs is kind of the words they would often use. They're like, what is limiting you? What are you limiting yourself with, right, from these beliefs? And that uses kind of more like body positioning and stuff, but I've had sessions, but I can't really explain it. But I just appreciate that this message is coming through from the higher source to help people, you know, move past their past experiences and their memories to live more fully and present in the now. Right? Like
mm-hmm.
We all have memories, and you know, shocking to me sometimes. Like, well, a memory will come up, and you just also have that. You know, you have a feeling that's attached to it or an experience, and you can still feel the emotions with it. It's really intense sometimes, right? You have an emotion or a feeling. Or another thing that it works with that is, not exactly, but like with Dianetics, right? L. Ron Hubbard's work,
mm-hmm.
where they'd have you kind of go back on this chain. I can't think of the words now, but they, you know, go back to this past and trying to find the first cause of, like, their example is like if someone got bit by a dog, right? Then every time they see dog, they freak out, and they don't even realize why they're freaking out. It's like, oh, when was the first time you got bit by the dog or got scared by a dog or something? And they try to help clear that through their means of their Dianetics work. So I just appreciate that there are things like theta healing and other things to try to help us. Isn't that kind of what would you agree with me? Like, we're trying to get to,
yes,
we can
absolutely
live in the present moment, right? And not be living in our past, right?
Yes. And there's so many different techniques that can work. And I think the most important thing is that somebody finds the one that resonates with them. And it's not only about the technique, it's also, of course, about the practitioner. So, mm-hmm. You know, you might do theta healing technique with one practitioner, and then you find another one and you just resonate more, whatever it is, if it's the voice that helps you to relax, or, you know, it's all about personality and connection as well. So, and I think that's the same with any of these other, with Psych-K, with family, what is it, internal family systems, and then EMDR. Yeah. They're all really powerful. And for whatever reason, theta healing technique is the one that came to me. And I had a couple of very powerful experiences early on. So I stayed with this one. But I do believe in all of them. And sometimes I'll recommend a different one for someone if I'm talking to them and I sense that that a different one would actually be better for them because of their personality.
Yeah,
so.
We do that all the time, too. I mean, yeah. I got multiple chiropractors. I married one. And, you know, that it just, you got masseuses. It's like all the different styles. You know, it's got, mm-hmm. I want to share something about dispensers. Views theta waves as a key to assessing autonomic nervous system, Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh, okay.
And the limbic brain. So is that where the word comes? Limbic.
Limbic? Yeah,
with the...
Liminal and limbic?
Yeah.
Is it the same root?
No, liminal is like the state in between. Mm. So used, actually, funnily enough, it's used a lot in architecture to describe the spaces in between, like hallways, doorways, thresholds. Those are all liminal spaces. But then in psychology or in... psychology, I think liminal would be like transitional phases as well.
Nice.
But it is also, for example, when you're not quite in the dream state, but not quite awake. So if you go to a sound bath, or if you go to, or if you're in a Reiki healing session or any other type of energy healing modality where you start to drift off, or you're napping in the afternoon and you're kind of awake, but you're kind of asleep. And so you're receiving these different messages or visions and things of that nature. That's a liminal state. Very, you know, to me, that's how I understand it. And all the reason I use that for my website is that I offer various modalities, all of which take you to the liminal space. So I do sound baths and sound healing. I do Reiki healing. I do breath work, and then theta healing technique. They're all taking you to that space of liminality where you can, if you're choosing to enter that state consciously and with an intention, then you can receive clarification, inspiration, healing, release, you know, all these things. And I think the key is intention and consciousness.
Like, okay, so I just had this song come into my head that you could maybe steal from Olivia Newton-John, bless your heart. Let's get liminal, liminal. I wanna get liminal.
Wait, now I don't even remember what the original word is.
It's physical.
Physical, right? Yeah, let's get liminal.
Let's get liminal.
I'm still locked in on this limbic brain, because he said that's the seat of the subconscious, you know.
The limbic brain. Yeah. So you're trying to bring it into the physical body.
I'm just wondering if the two words connect somehow. We got to get Dan on that.
Dan's kind of looking up right now.
We have to get an etymologist in here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Dan's on. He says limbic comes from the Latin limbus, for border or edge. Okay.
So you're on the edge. You're on the edge. You're on the edge of from the spirit and
you're on the edge.
Maybe those first three letters, the limb, actually, because
go deeper, Dan.
Oh yeah, the limb is stretching out. You know, like it's reaching, right?
Limbus, edge, border. That's cool.
Yeah, the edge, the border, the edge of the tree is the limb, right? Isn't it?
Go beyond.
You got to take the step like a.
You know. Well, maybe when you get to the limbic part of the brain, you're in the liminal state.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be when you're accessing your limbic brain. That would make sense. I know, you know, the
we'll
edge.
I'll have to verify that, but.
Yeah, the, you know, there's that when you talk about that between sleep state and waking, Paul, and I know you're going to trigger in this memory, Paul. You know where you take, like, you fall asleep and you have a nap, and you wake up and you're in that kind of dreamy state? You know, you're kind of on the edge. Do you remember that, Paul, that nap we had?
What? We've only had one nap in our life?
No, but this particular one, I think we were in the liminal stage.
Oh, yeah,
Really early on in our little marriage.
Oh, yeah, before kids, over in Appleton, right?
Yeah.
On that couch?
Yeah, and we fell asleep.
The couch had fallen over, and we
just, weird, and we just leaned against it.
Yeah.
Or, we were on a trip to, where were we going? Where were we? Iceland. And it was really warm out, and the grass was green, and the sun was warm.
Oh, yeah, we laid on the side of the hill.
And we went up this hill, and we're like, let's just lay down. And we fall asleep like little gnomes on the hill. And it was like that state where you're just like in that, that perfect kind of in-between state, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not deep, deep sleep, and you're not awake, but you're like, I think it's a really sweet place to be.
It's wonderful.
I mean, can we...
I
think that's the whole idea of trying to go through life is to try to bring that state into our daily experience,
the flow,
right?
Yeah, that flow state. But, like you said, in beta, we're talking and having conversation, or gamma, we're processing and learning about things
in life.
That's
why people don't understand me. I'm in theta all the time.
you're in the twilight zone.
Well, twilight, I'll call it that. Give it the name that you want to give it, but it's called theta.
Is this where we bring up your dream state, Paul, and have a chat about that?
No, we're not going there.
How does that compare when someone's dreaming as compared to being in the liminal state? Like, meaning dreaming, like, not nightmares, but dreaming.
Deep
and
dreaming.
Like walking in your sleep, but not, it might not be a nightmare, but you're so actively awake but sleeping that you don't remember it?
That you don't remember it, I'm sure there's still release and processing happening, but when you can remember it, I mean, I have times when I remember a dream and it's very healing. Even better is if you start to practice to be conscious in those deeper dream states. That's what I'm super fascinated by and have been fascinated by since I was a teenager. Still have not got to the space where I can
Be the leader of your dreams.
Like,
no,
is that like lucid dreaming?
What's that called again? I'm blanking on the name.
Lucid dreaming.
There's that word again.
Yeah.
It's just saying.
Yeah.
Lumis,
it's
illumination.
Close.
No. It's all
you're
based
stretching
on illumination.
Now.
No, I'm not.
I have had lucid dreams, but not as a regular practice. And I think that's really, really special in that you can shift things even more quickly if you become a master at that type of practice.
We actually brought somebody here one time from Iowa. They wrote a book on lucid dreaming.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun guests. I know, we've had a lot of fun guests.
Yeah.
You're one of them, Rabbi. You're one of them. Okay, here's now that we figured out your theme song for your website. But anyway, you have to get permission to use it, I suppose. But if someone wanted to utilize your services, like I know when I was working with my Psych K practitioner, I was going to drive to Chicago, which is like 4 hours from here, and she said, well, you don't need to drive here. We can just do it, through the screen. I'm like, really? And then usually I don't like that kind of not in-face person thing. But she said, actually, you can. And so I said, well, let's try it. And, it was really effective. So I'm curious if that's, you can do both.
You can do both. In fact, I actually prefer to do them on screen, whereas a Reiki session, for example, I much prefer to do in person.
Okay.
So... But theta healing, you can definitely do it via, I use Zoom, but through a video call. And the only thing that's important is that somebody has, of course, a good connection and they're in a quiet space where they know that they're not going to be disturbed and that they can relax. So you're not lying down, but you don't want to be sitting straight up necessarily either. Although people who are more adept at going into the theta state and very comfortable with being connected, very much believing in everything, then they can do it more sitting up. If I have somebody who has a lot of anxiety or questions or not really has a hard time letting go of the conscious thinking mind, then they're going to be better served to be leaning back a little bit more and sort of halfway reclined.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't want completely laying down because it'll go too past theta?
No, it's just that sometimes what we do is we work with muscle testing.
And
the muscle testing is a really powerful way, especially initially and for some people, to see that things have shifted. or to understand, like, you know, if we're having a harder time getting to that, to the deeper self-limiting belief, then we might test out a few things.
Okay.
So you can test anything. You can test the belief, or you can just test just to make sure that it's shifted afterwards.
Okay.
And so then I'll have the person stand up. So if they're lying down, I don't want them to get dizzy. I do my best to not do too much muscle testing, and some people I don't have to do any muscle testing. But until we start out at the beginning, if it's a new client, we'll go through that process and make sure that the muscle testing is working correctly. And then I give them examples of how it works. Yeah.
Awesome. If I did want to take a road trip, tell me where you are again.
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, that's
yes,
what I
if anybody
talked about
happens.
That. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Portland, Oregon. This is where I do. I have a lot of sound baths here, and of course the private sessions with other types of energy healing modalities.
All right, Paul. If we go on a road trip,
yes.
Look her up. Believe it or not, you may not believe it, but we're down to just a few minutes here left in our show. Is there something, Rabia, that you haven't covered yet that you want to share with our audience before we have to wrap up this hour? We have like, what, Dan, 3-4 minutes maybe? About 3 minutes.
No, I don't think so. I wanted to give a clarification on the website that can be confusing if you don't have a direct link to it, is the .love replaces .com. So you can think about it that way, liminal.love.
Okay.
And then in the beginning of the show, you were pronouncing my name correctly, and then you shifted to a different pronunciation.
Will you say it for us, please?
Rabia.
Oh, I was trying so hard. Okay, say your whole name.
Rabia Troncheliti.
Oh, that's so beautiful. See, you say it so well.
Oh, you tried. I've had a lifetime of experience with it.
Rabia, I shifted. I slipped into my Midwest slang there. So, well, this has been really enlightening. I appreciate the time. Paul, you have any closing words on the subconscious?
Well, I also appreciate the new, where we're going as humans. You know, this is our time. This is our time to really connect with ourselves within, and these are the new tools. Mm-hmm. We get to play with,
mm-hmm.
and the new ships we get to ride, and it's really fun to let the old model go and you know, jump on the new ship and really have fun, because this is our time to connect with ourselves,
the essence
within, and we're all avatars on this planet, you know, dressed in human clothes and suits, and we just got to see beyond that. And within ourselves, in order to heal, we really got to see that we are spirits with a body, not just a body running around.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And the modern medical pharmaceutical mafia sees us as robots, and that this is the model that we need to see in us as spiritual beings. And what do we need to do to connect with that and heal ourselves?
Mm-hmm. And really having that. A fun term that you relate to would be is that this idea of radical responsibility that we've you've heard that recently. Probably we have a shared sideshow, her and I, that we met, and I really like that idea. Really, just we have to be responsible and find the tools that we need for ourselves to bring ourselves right there to fully express our divine. So, well, thank you so much for the hour again, folks. I want to let you know that if you want to reach out to her, it's Liminal Love, L-I-M-I-N-A-L.
Liminal dot love.
She said again, L-I-M. LIMINAL.LOVE. Liminal dot love.
This is the ultimate. You said it. Love replaces calm. .com. I mean, come on. That's what we have to do in the world. We have to get that the computer. The computer is going to bring us to God. Bring us to the source.
Or we just. The idea was we're going into a liminal state with love, and you know, love is that. Ultimate vibration of healing. So, but thank you both so much for having me and for sharing. I really enjoy talking to you.
Thank you so much, too. Have a great day, everyone.